It's time now to go beyond the headlines. And for the next 2 hours, go where every sports fan wants to go. Behind the scenes and into the practice facilities, locker rooms, coaches' offices, and press boxes to get the info before anyone else. This is the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Hey, good morning, everybody. I didn't move my camera. Whoops. There we go. Welcome to NFL Cutdown Day. Hey, James.
Hi, Kyle.
That's the thing I forgot to do. I told you there was something I forgot to do this morning, and
it was
move my camera.
I told you we figure it out.
Yeah. No, we're good, though. See, and that didn't even make me that upset.
No.
I guess fine. That's a what's that, like a aesthetic thing? That's not a radio thing.
No.
I've got everything up and recording.
Yeah.
I've got everything on that needs to be on. I've got everything potted up that needs to be potted up. I think we're good.
It's funny, Kyle. While we were getting ready for this to start the show, Greg Tabor's in the chat.
Uh-huh.
He decided to, of course, clown us because every day we talk about an Aiyuk update that we said we weren't going to discuss. And I just thought because he misspelled it on the chatty house, it instantly keyed in that there is no I in team, but there is an I in Aiyuk.
That's a great point. Good point.
Just saying, Greg.
Except in Greg's spelling, there was not an I in Aiyuk. Quick Brandon Aiyuk update. Still nothing.
What's next?
Also nothing on Trent Williams. Although I did think it was funny. We talked about this a little bit yesterday. I did think it was funny that there was reporting around Trent Williams that he's prepared to hold out week one. Like, yep. That's how holdouts go.
That's right.
I saw some Niners podcast last night doing shows about, hey, what? Trent Williams said he can hold out week one. Yeah, man. It wouldn't be very effective if he was like, I'm going to hold out, but not for the regular season.
Not for week one.
Like, that's where his leverage is.
Like, if you haven't paid me by then I'm just going to show up and you don't have to pay me.
I can't.
Yeah.
The more this goes on and the more I look at this, I don't know what's happening behind the scenes. I'm obviously not in negotiation rooms. There's probably like four people on the planet that know exactly what's going on with Trent Williams and Brandon Aiyuk.
Mm-hmm.
But there's probably fewer people on the planet that know what's going on with both of them. So if I'm the Niners and one of these deals is holding up the other one, like they're not going to figure it out with Trent Williams until they know exactly what they're paying Brandon Aiyuk or vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
Punt the Brandon Aiyuk thing into next week. And do whatever you have to do to get Trent Williams back. Because that's it. And again, this isn't that we're doing radio here. We're talking, we're having a conversation. They can do both. Like, mm-hmm. They should be able to figure out both and have both on the field for week one. But in the scenario where they have to do one or the other to get one of them on the field week one, I don't think there is any question in my mind, and not anyone else that I've spoken to about this, that Trent Williams has to be the guy that you're making sure is on the field against the New York football Jets on Monday Night Football, September 9th.
Oh, I agree 100%. I've told everyone that listens to the show that I believe that Trent Williams is, if not the number one most important player on the 49ers, he's like number two. He's just so high on the list of players who are of importance for me. Just, I mean, a couple of reasons. Number one, you don't have anyone else like him, and it's impossible to have another Trent Williams.
Facts.
And if you did, your payroll would be astronomical because you can't just have a Hall of Fame, you know, left tackle, a Hall of Fame guard, Hall of Fame right tackle. I mean, that's just not the way the world works now in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
But just his presence, when he's on the field, he's just so dominant.
And
it doesn't matter. Like, he can walk in off the street, you know, throw on his helmet and go out there and play the entire game.
Yeah.
Yeah, I strongly believe that. Now, you don't want him to get hurt or anything, but he's so incredibly important.
I think and this is a topic that, you know, people talk about a lot, is who's the 49ers team MVP, and Christian McCaffrey, obviously super important. Mm-hmm. Brock Purdy, given how good he's been and how much better he's been than anybody else they've had, obviously super important. But I think the drop-off, and the reason I think Trent Williams would be number one on that list for me, and not just because he's holding out, this is, I think the holdout highlights these reasons, but the drop-off from Trent Williams to Jalen Moore is so much steeper than the drop-off from Christian McCaffrey to running back B, or Brock Purdy to quarterback B, or Nick Bosa to pass rusher B. Nick Bosa might be close, but there's nobody else on the roster where if you're going from the best player at that position in the league to like the 50th best player at the position. Jalen Moore's not 50, but you get what I'm saying.
Well, yeah, I would also point out that there's not a player that can impact your quarterback as much as him.
Yeah.
Like, not only does McCaffrey need him to go get all those yards, because that's a big reason why McCaffrey's been so impactful,
mm-hmm.
but also it's why Brock Purdy is still standing upright and in the pocket. I mean, yeah. There you lose Trent Williams, and somebody gets to your quarterback, and he misses 6 weeks because you don't have his blind side covered. Yeah, that's a problem. So
yeah.
Get it done.
Especially your quarterback that they believe is their franchise quarterback in the year where he's going to get a contract next offseason.
Mm-hmm.
You can't. There are so many reasons to ensure that Trent Williams is on the field week one. The fact that it's taken this long is kind of preposterous to me. The reason for it taking this long, don't know. I don't know if it's about sustainability long term and they're just trying to really crunch the numbers and make sure that they're finding the sweet spot with both players. I don't know if it's because, and if it is that, let's just say it's that. Let's take this at face value and let's pretend that the 49ers aren't focused on winning negotiations, mm-hmm. or that it's not that they're distracted by all these other business interests they have going on, and they're just more focused on that than making sure that they're putting the best 53 players on the football field. Let's just take it at face value. To me, the sustainability thing goes out the window when you're jeopardizing this season. Their margin for error is so small,
mm-hmm.
especially when you look at their roster, or not their roster, excuse me, their schedule. You can't just go drop your first two games because you don't have a left tackle and your best wide receiver, or second best wide receiver. I don't want to get in an argument about Debo and Ayuk.
One of your
leading wide receiver from last year.
Yeah.
You can't go in and expect to just go win games. You don't, and if you fall into a 0-2, 1-3, 1-4 hole, you might not dig out of it.
Well, you certainly won't get home field advantage.
No.
Yeah, I mean that's kind of out the window and that's a problem.
Yeah, man. So I'm the more this has gone on and the longer this has gone on, maybe it's the players being pains, but man, this to me is just on the team. Whatever you got to do, whatever pride you've got to swallow, whatever player you might have to cut in 2028 or not re-sign in 2028 to make sure that you're being competitive with Brandon Ayuk and Trent Williams on your team through 2027 or however long they're with the club, you have to do it. At this point, there's not an excuse that makes sense to me.
No, I totally agree. And we've been on the same page with this for a long time. Like there comes a point where it's like, look, I get that there's leverage and there's, you know, it's a negotiation and everything else, but you kind of have messed this whole thing up yourself. You mm-hmm. allowed the wide receiver market to explode and for you to get priced out. You did that.
Yes.
Like if you would have been at the forefront of it mm-hmm. and just got the deal done early,
mm-hmm.
you could have set a standard and then had all these other teams pay more money and had this thing blow up even worse for the other teams.
Mm-hmm.
But now, like, you're the one who waited. Everyone else has signed.
That's it.
Even CeeDee Lamb got his contract.
Got his deal. Which, again, Mike Florio crunched the numbers at Pro Football Talk, not nearly as obscene as the numbers look.
Oh, yeah.
It's like a 3 at $22 million a year or something like that.
Oh.
Like, it's just not, like, these contracts aren't that insane, which is why I kind of wonder what the holdup is. And that's the other piece of this. Forget the Ayuk thing for a second. Let's just focus on Trent Williams. Because the Ayuk thing, you should have foreseen, hey, here's all these really comparable or more productive wide receivers
mm-hmm.
who are all due to get contracts. We should get out in front of this. And I think they tried. I do genuinely think they tried. But it obviously, whatever they offered wasn't enough. The Trent Williams thing, though, you know he's playing with no guaranteed money on his deal.
Yeah, that
he's given you every indication he's going to play football.
Mm-hmm.
How were you not ready with some kind of, like, the Christian McCaffrey one got done, snip, snap, good to go. How were you not anticipating on some level? Unless, again, they're talking to Trent Williams, and Trent Williams going, no, I'll be in camp, and then blindsides him with a holdout. But how were you not prepared to have something on the table, some competitive offer on the table that makes him the highest paid left tackle in the league?
Well, even if it's not that, even like, we don't know what he's asking for, but I'm going to guess that it's very much he wants some guaranteed money this year, next year. Like, he wants all of his money guaranteed this year for sure. But then next year, he's going to want some guaranteed money.
Yeah.
And I get it. Like, he should be asking for that. That's the way this all works. Like, he is that good and he's that important to your team. And if you can't build the team around him, like, you have to pay him. It is what it is. Like, so I'm confused why we keep getting to these situations. But I think, again, like, Trent Williams is like, he just doesn't want to be there. And it's not that he doesn't want to be there, but he's a, you know, grizzled vet, and he's like, look, I don't really need to be there. I know the drill. The Ayuk situation is just like, you just let this thing drag out so long that now it's not even like fun to talk about. You know, it's like we've reached the like Ross and Rachel thing where it's like, yeah, at this point, we don't care if they get together. We don't care. You've teased it for like six seasons. We don't care anymore.
Sure.
Yeah.
Not a Friends guy, but I get the reference.
Yeah.
Tyler Jennings in the Chatty House, and there's something to this. He said Ayuk Camp didn't want to do a deal early. They wanted the market set higher. But that's what I'm talking about with the 49ers. The 49ers came in at whatever their low offer was and said, hey, let's get this done. Of course Ayuk Camp is gonna go, like we'll wait. We see all these guys who are probably gonna get deals, so we're gonna wait. If the 49ers, I promise you, if the 49ers had come in with whatever offer they've bumped their offer up to now. If they had just come in with that in April, this is done, dudes.
Yeah.
I understand why they don't want it, because they want to squeeze every penny out. I get it. But this is a foundational player to whatever core you're going to have in your future. Brandon Ayuk's part of it. And if he wasn't going to be part of it, if you were not prepared to up your offer at all, which clearly they were because they have, then you should have traded him in April.
Oh no, I totally
agree. Which is why maybe Ayuk is being a pain in the ass about this, and the Niners have done everything right for the last 6 weeks, and Ayuk is just being a pain. Maybe, but I think they could have done more a lot earlier.
Okay,
that's where this lands.
I think so too. I mean, at the end of the day, it's on the 49ers to put a product on the field. And Ayuk has got to do what he's got to do for himself. And we all know about guaranteed money and non-guaranteed money in the NFL. And if I'm an NFL player, I want the big guaranteed, as much guaranteed money as possible. Because at the end of the day, the NFL teams have proven time and time again that they don't care what happens to your body, what happens to you when this is all said and done.
Yep.
And then they're more than willing just to waive you and move on. Right? And so that's a problem. I think it's also funny, we're on Kyle watch today. Kyle, of course, has to write at Niners Wire, and we're waiting to see if
my contributor is not available on Tuesdays and Thursdays. My homie, my guy, Tommy Call, shout out to him, salute. He does a ton of work for me and does such a great job. And on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays, he's got me. I tell him, hey, 9 o'clock, I'm on show prep. I can't write. It's all you until like 12:30.
Yep.
And he's like, I got you. And he gets on everything. He might shoot me a text like, hey, headline idea for this. Great. Just does a really good. But on Tuesdays and Thursdays, he is not available. So I'm hoping today that the roster cut down deadline is 1 p.m. Pacific.
That's right.
I need the 49ers to take until 1 p.m. Pacific. 12 noon doesn't do it for me, because you and I go out. I go out and chat for a second. I get some food. Charlie comes over. I'm cutting video in here with Jesse.
Yep.
I have things going on. 1 o'clock would be great. Just take right up to the deadline today. But every time you look down at your phone, or every time you you'll half smile or do anything with your, I'm reading it as, oh no.
It's happening, Kyle.
I don't know what I'm going to do.
Oh, we're going to
have to figure something out.
We're going to mess with you all day long.
Please don't. I don't like that. I don't like that very much. Every time I get an email, because not to brag, but I'm on the 49ers email list.
Oh, yeah.
And if you would like to get on the list, email their comms guy.
There you go.
Every time I get an email now, I panic because I'm afraid that it's 49ers announced cuts. I've pre-written enough that it'll go quick.
Yeah.
It's just I can't do that and also talk on the radio.
It's tough. Like, again, as someone who's written during games for years,
mm-hmm.
I can write. I can keep up with the game and write and watch at the same time.
Of course.
What I can't do is I can't transcribe and watch the game at the same time.
Right.
That doesn't work. But I find this entertaining.
Well, I have to, if somebody else is driving the show,
mm-hmm.
I could say, hey, there might be a point that I have to time out.
Oh yeah.
And I'm going to step, but if we break at 10:28,
yep.
If something happens at 10:24,
oh, yeah.
I don't want to be like, James, I'm going to bail. You handle this. Oh, and also take us to break.
Oh, that's
like,
fine.
That's crazy. I'm not going to do all that. I can't move buttons. No, I'm not. I'm not going to do all that.
I don't push buttons.
We'll figure
you know
it out.
That.
We'll figure it out if it happens. I'm just going to cross my fingers, and I need everybody to whether you pray, or whether you meditate, or whether you manifest, or whatever thing you do to try and put energy out into the universe, or with whatever deity you pray to.
That's right.
I would like that energy to be the 49ers not making cuts until about 1 o'clock today.
There you go.
I need him to take up to the deadline.
All right.
All of this said, I don't think Trent Williams is going to be on the 53-man roster.
Oh, okay.
And it's going to look wild.
And people are going to panic?
Yeah, probably, because I think people listening to this show, probably not, but I think there's a lot of people who just like watch the Niners on Sunday and maybe get like Google updates about them, and that's as much as they follow the team,
mm-hmm.
are going to get a bunch of updates about how Trent Williams isn't on the 53-man roster, and it's like, wait, what happened?
Oh, they're going to panic. Yeah.
Yeah, because because he didn't report, he's on a reserve/did not report list.
Yeah, yeah.
He's not even on their roster right now. They have him under contract, but he doesn't count against their roster. So unless he signs a deal by 12:59 p.m. Pacific time today, he's going to still be on the did not report list,
mm-hmm.
which means they can't cut him or add him to the 53-man roster.
Oh.
He's just going to be on the did not report list still.
Okay, so how many exact players get cut today? Because where are we at?
They were, I think they had a full slate of 90, and then they cut, what, 5 yesterday?
So they have, like, their list is going to be that long?
No, 20, 32. Yeah. It's nutty.
Oh,
they just send out, and they send out one email, and it's like, the 49ers have made the following roster moves, and it's like, these guys have been waived, these guys have been released, because you get waived if you're within, I think it's 3 years of NFL service. I think you're subject to waivers, and I think 4 years and beyond, I think you get your outright release.
Okay.
And waivers, you can get picked up by any team. If you're released, you're given you're a free agent. You can go anywhere. So it'll say these guys got waived, these guys got released. I'm guessing Matt Maiocca reported today on NBC or at NBC Sports that John Feliciano and Kalia Davis, just an offensive lineman and a defensive lineman,
yep.
are going to start the season on IR with a designation to return.
Yes.
That'll be on those roster moves. So there'll be, it's not just one brick of names, but it'll be separated into whatever category they fit into. And then if a player gets put on IR with no designation to return, which might happen to like Ambry Thomas,
yeah,
who broke his forearm during the preseason, then that'll also be listed on there.
Yeah, and then with that, they'll probably go through and do like an injury settlement, right?
I would imagine so, because Ambry Thomas is young and I think can play some football.
Okay.
So in that event, yeah, he could reach an injury settlement and go elsewhere.
Okay.
So yeah, that's what I think is going to happen. I don't know what's going to happen with Talanoa Hufanga.
Oh.
I don't know if he'll start the season on the PUP list and have to wait 4 weeks to return, or if they activate him, which might also be on the roster moves, like he's activated. And then he would be on the 53-man roster.
Okay.
But I don't know.
Yeah, like the waiver, the like releases are coming like slowly. It's like trickle.
Mm-hmm.
The Chiefs just released former second-round pick tight end Irv Smith.
It is insane how many players who, because I get fairly deep into the NFL draft stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It is insane how many players that you look at when a team selects them in the second or third round, maybe end of the first round, and you're like, man, what a steal. Who are just cut after year two.
Ugh.
There are so many. KJ Hamler got cut today. KJ Henry, oddly enough, from Clemson, got cut today. Desmond Ridder, cut today.
Yeah, that's wild.
So Peyton Turner for the Saints, probably going to get cut today. Unless the 49ers trade for him.
Oh.
Stay tuned.
Stay tuned.
Yeah, man, it's just crazy. It's why during the NFL draft, on day three of the draft, when every single pick, every single one, draft Twitter, people covering it, doing the draft on various networks, NFL Network, ESPN, whatever, Underdog, I know PFF does like a live show, all these draft network, whatever, are like, whoa, oh, love this fit. Oh man, he's one of my favorite players in this draft. Relax. That guy probably not going to be on the team in 3 years.
Well, I mean, that's more often than not. That's what it is. They're just not on the team anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
NBA draft. Oh, man. I thought I had a day one grade on this guy. All right. He went 54th.
I always wonder, is there someone who keeps track of, like, who says what and then
how
these guys work out?
Somebody, I don't know who it is, but there is a website online that keeps track of like mock draft accuracy for the NFL.
Okay.
There might be an NBA one too, but the NFL, and they every year they go through and they see in the first round how accurate you were, and then you get some kind of score or grade based on that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I hit the, in one of my mocks, I hit the top 11 in the NBA draft.
That's impressive. So. 11 in a row is nuts.
Yeah, 11. And like after that, it got a little dicey, but sure. Guys within range, like there was like maybe one or two surprises, but
yeah.
Yeah.
It's impressive if you get like three in a row, especially when you consider how many trades can happen, when you consider that every year in the NBA draft, sure, but in the NFL draft, it feels like every year three or four guys go in the first round that the consensus has in the late second, early third round, and they somehow jump up into the first because teams evaluate players differently than the general populace. And that always messes up people's mocks.
Mm.
It's tough, man. But also, you're not necessarily doing it to be right, especially when you do a bunch of them.
Yeah.
You're mixing and matching and seeing, and then maybe your last one, you've done a bunch of evaluations and you've done some reading and you've talked to people and you go, okay, I feel good about this last one. But the rest of them, you're mixing and matching and trying to see, okay, hey, let's play out this scenario, or what if this guy falls, or hey, this guy has an injury thing, what if he falls to this team, and if he's available at this point, would this team trade up? I mean, there's a million different things you could do.
No, I totally agree.
So hard to be right.
Yeah.
It's so freaking hard.
Yeah.
11 in a row is impressive. That was the goal of my message.
Okay.
Nice work by you.
Hey, it happens sometimes. But, you know, like, look, you do have a lot of conversations. I have, you know, sources throughout the league where you're calling, like, hey, what do you think? What's going to happen here? What's going to happen there? And you come to some sort of, like, consensus on who and what each player is. Like, how good are they going to be? And then I always do, when I'm doing mocks, it's always very specific about, like, what team needs are and sort of what their future is with the group that they have and how someone might fit with that. And maybe I'm wrong, maybe I'm not, you know, but overall, you're trying to be as accurate as possible and give content that makes sense for people to read.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Speaking of the NFL draft, this is crazy. It's been going around the internet.
Uh-oh.
The 2022 draft class, the one where the 49ers got Brock Purdy, might go down as the worst draft class in NFL history for quarterbacks. Whew. Of the 9 quarterbacks drafted, once Bailey Zappe is cut today, which is expected, 2 of the 9 quarterbacks drafted in the 2022 draft will be gone from their original team. That's outrageous.
Kyle, that's insane.
You could even turn the clock back to 2021 And then you have 6 of the 19 quarterbacks drafted between 2021 and 2022 are with their original team still.
You know, it's crazy because that's like, you should be putting so much time and energy into scouting that specific position that to miss that often just doesn't make any sense at all.
Like, I get that it's difficult for sure. Like, there's so many things that go into it. But to your point, just going back to 2021, because 2022, everybody knew that class wasn't going to be very good. Kenny Pickett was the first quarterback off the board that year.
Mm.
2021, Trevor Lawrence, first overall. He's still with the Jags.
Yep.
Zach Wilson, number 2 to the Jets, now with the Broncos. Trey Lance, number 3 to the 49ers, now with the Cowboys. Justin Fields, number 11 to the Bears, now with the Steelers. Mac Jones, number 15 to the Patriots, now with the Jaguars. That's 4 of the top 5 quarterbacks taken, all in the top 15 picks, no longer with their original team.
That to me is crazy because it's like there was a concentration of quarterbacks at the top end of the draft and they're no longer there.
And it was like consensus. It wasn't not consensus exactly where they would go. Lawrence and Wilson were the consensus top 2, but then the Niners at number 3 of course had the Lance, Fields, Mac Jones conundrum that I don't want to relitigate. But those guys were the consensus top 5 in that draft. And 4 of them after 3 seasons are no longer with their original team.
That's crazy. What were your thoughts on Lance this weekend? I mean, he had a disaster. Picks.
Dude, he's the same. I feel for him because he very obviously just needs to play a lot of football to get a real evaluation of where he is. But he just hasn't gotten any better. And it's not a surprise because he hasn't gotten to play a lot of football.
Mm-hmm.
And the way he's going to get better is by playing. But he's not playing, so he's not getting better. And he's not going to play because he's not getting better. But he's not getting better because he can't play.
This sounds like a never ending.
Right. It's just brutal. Yeah. So it's the only way he has a chance to get out of the rut that he's been in since 2021 is to go to some team that doesn't mind tanking and says, hey, Trey, you're going to start all 17 games.
Yeah.
And maybe we go 2-15, but hey, maybe you start to figure it out and we go 9-8 and we have our quarterback.
But we've kind of got to the point where that's never going to happen.
Feels like it.
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately,
teams are going to draft a guy instead of taking a guy on a fifth year of his
his rookie
career.
Scale. Yeah,
well, his fifth year option and get picked up, so he'll be a free agent next year.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, maybe the Cowboys sign him as a backup just because he's been in their program. But man, I feel for him, man. I feel for him for sure.
Tough world.
All right, we'll have some more on that. We'll have Nick Young said a wild thing that has a rough take up top, but then he slides in an even worse take within that take. And we're going to talk about that next. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're the Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube, here on ESPN 1320 at Sacramento Sports Leader.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
All right, I want to get to something before I forget, because there's always maybe 2 things per show that I have in the back of my mind that I want to get to.
Yeah.
And then I just don't get to them, but the time on them has passed, so we can't go back to them.
Okay.
So I do want to talk about the insane thing that Nick Young said.
Okay.
Have I told my Nick Young jersey story on this show?
I don't think so.
Okay, I'll tell that too. I own a Nick Young jersey. Story coming up. But did you hear about Brady Feigl? Brady Feigl is a relief pitcher for the Pittsburgh Pirates. He began his professional career in 2014. He debuted last night. He had been in the minors for 10 years.
Oof.
And had not made it. Check that. This was his 11th year in the minors. If he started in 2014.
Okay.
Made his debut last night. If you're not watching, I suggest going over to youtube.com/ESPN1320 and twitch.tv/ESPN1320, because we're going to play a video for you. This was posted to the official MLB Twitter account. And it says, you know, tells the story real quick. 33-year-old reliever Brady Feigl started his professional career in 2014, made his major league debut tonight. And then it says the reaction from his family is everything. And that's the kind of video that's going to make me cry.
Okay.
So I tapped in. I was like, yes, I want to watch this. I bet his family went nuts. Backflips in the stands, crying, high-fiving, hugging strangers, you know, just going insane. Here's the reaction from his family, and this is the call courtesy of the Pirates television broadcast.
And he's going to get Cody Bellinger. First batter in the big leagues. He retires. Congrats.
All right, here's the reaction. Here's his family.
To the Pirates, Brady Feigl.
Oh, nice. His mom stood up. Oh, now dad stood up. Good for them. There it was.
That's
that
it?
Could have been some randos. How do they know that's his family? Based on their reactions, that was a group of people who are Pirates fans as of yesterday.
Ugh.
They are not that invested.
That's a tough look.
Do you know they weren't even standing while he was pitching?
That's like no. I've talked about this as someone who, like, again, I coach my son forever in soccer. Like, you go to all these tournaments, you have practice 4 or 5 days a week. You know, you've invested so much personal time and energy. You know, again, tournaments in Santa Cruz or wherever, like, and then, like, to watch them play is like a joy. And then, but then to, again, watch the pandemic happen and watch them lose their last, their ability to play anymore was heartbreaking. So I would have been outlandish.
So here's the thing. I don't want to begrudge his family.
Yeah.
Maybe they're a muted type of personality. Maybe this is just them, right? I don't want to, it's not them that I have the issue with. They can celebrate how they see fit. That I'm sure that internally they are just over the freaking moon for their kid or their brother or cousin or nephew or whoever all was there. Whatever, I don't care how they react. It's that MLB promoted that video. I wouldn't want that shit. His family's reaction was everything. No, it wasn't. It was very mid.
It was very mid.
Extremely normal, fine, typical reaction.
No fist pump, no crazy.
Yeah, two people stood up. And it took a second for, I think that was mom and dad, took a second for him to stand up.
Oh. Hundreds of hours that they put in to that kid finally getting to the big leagues.
Yeah, and it's fine. Like I said, I don't want to begrudge because maybe that's their personalities. That's fine.
Maybe they're looking at the score.
I don't begrudge
them
at all.
Should we cheer because it's 11-2? And should we really cheer? Just one out. Maybe we shouldn't.
It's just his family's reaction wasn't everything.
No.
I thought it was much cooler that he goes over, he got the ball from Rowdy Tellez. A great moment for Brady Feigl. Focus on that. Not his family's weak-ass reaction.
You know, right now, I think I could give more of a reaction to the fact that the Chiefs are waving Kadarius Toney, and I don't have to watch him.
Oh, wow, that's big time. Wow.
I don't have to watch.
Yes! Yes!
You can suck it. That's right. To no longer watch Kadarius Toney drop receptions, wide open looks from my fantasy quarterback anymore.
Turning them into interceptions.
Oh my gosh. Taking
huge
positive yards and turning him to -1 interceptions.
Brutal.
I am so here for it.
You know what? You know what? Since you're talking about your fantasy team, I'll now talk about mine because I'm going to celebrate the same way because I just drafted Xavier Worthy. Woo! That's so big time.
Woo!
Thank God the Chiefs let go of Kadarius Toney. Let's go! Come on!
We've done it, Kyle! We've done it!
Big time, baby!
Yes.
Woo! Fired up.
Waiting for ESPN to post a clip of us.
Kadarius Toney was released by the Chiefs today. James and Kyle's reaction was everything.
It's everything.
Teary-eyed emoji.
Teary-eyed.
Oh, it's everything. Yikes. It's everything. Kadarius Toney, very tough. Ian Rappaport, source, the Chiefs are waving Kadarius Toney, but he'll have a market elsewhere. The talent playmaker story isn't done yet.
Whew.
Is he, though?
Is he talented?
Talented playmaker? Playmaker, for sure.
Oh,
how talented
goodness.
Is the guy who's now been cut by two teams? I guess he got traded by one.
Yeah, but he got traded by one and was like,
for nothing.
Oh, he's going to be like the savior. Mm-hmm. No. You knew right away. It was like, oh, no, he's so bad.
The Chiefs, who are dying for any help at wide receiver, said, thanks, no thanks.
They just signed.
We'll roll Sky Moore and Juju Smith-Schuster out
Juju
there.
Juju Smith-Schuster. You got replaced by Juju Smith-Schuster at the last second.
And the X-Factor Xavier Worthy. Oh, that's speaking right. of my dynasty draft, I also got Drake May.
Oh, nice. Okay.
So I got a young quarterback. I don't feel great about it.
Yeah.
But when you're picking in the middle of the second round, all the running backs who could have gone there were gone. I just went young quarterback, just in case he's good.
You have a lot of mid quarterbacks.
Dude, he's going to fit right in there with Jared Goff and Geno Smith.
Yeah, you have a lot of guys who are mid.
Just a dude. Just a bunch of Jags. Just a guy.
I told Kyle before the show we were going to talk EPL. Mm-hmm. It's official. Fabrizio Romano has reported that Manuel Ugarte has been informed that he can travel tonight to Manchester. Scott, that's right. Got a new
CDM. Is this a correct reaction? I don't know what any of this means.
It's a 23-year-old center mid. I mean, CDM.
Is this good?
Yeah, it's good. Yeah. Scott McTominay is
CDM
on his way.
CDM, center defensive midfielder?
Yeah, center defensive
nice,
midfielder.
Nice, hell yeah.
Yeah, so Scott McTominay is on his way to Napoli, which is great because...
Of course.
Good
yeah,
stuff. Good
that's
stuff.
Really, I always said if Tomalay could make his way to Napoli...
If McTominay could make his way to Napoli,
we talked about that a lot.
Yep.
Is how McTominay and Napoli were just like a match made in heaven.
Well, now they can trade Osimhen, mm-hmm. which is going to be the next big move that's going to happen, but not to Manu.
And not to Manu, but it's more Osimhen leaving Napoli that's a bigger deal, because now do they become a factor in Brandon Ayuk trade talks?
There we go.
That's where I'm watching.
Well, he's now deciding between Osimhen has to decide between going to Chelsea
mm-hmm.
or going to play in why am I drawing a blank? Where
Saudi Arabia?
Yes, in Saudi Arabia.
Mm.
So he's being offered major money, like Vinicius Jr. offered $1 billion over 4 years to go to Saudi. Yeah, but he's like 23. He's like, should I go? Like
$1 billion?
Yeah, it's a $1 billion offer over I think it's 4 years. Just like crazy,
just a light
money.
Quarter bill a year.
Just like go ahead, like but it was. You thought that the Saudi league would be viewed more, and it's just not being viewed at all.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. So, anyway, exciting.
Dude, okay, there we go. I think because of sports, mm-hmm. and maybe because of where I live as well, living in California, and just the price of homes here, and... The general cost of living in this state, mm-hmm. plus just sports, right? You see players signing for 10 years and $700 million and all this stuff. The value of $1 million, I think, has gotten warped in my mind a little bit. Did you see that Nikola Jokic bought every member of the Serbian national team, a men's basketball team, $32,000 Rolexes?
No, I did not hear that.
He bought 11 $32,000 Rolexes.
Okay, so $350,000.
That's it. $350,000. He bought 11 watches that cost about as much as a car,
mm-hmm.
and had $650,000 left over out of $1 million.
He's got
That's
a lot of millions.
That's insane, dude. That blew my mind. Blew my mind.
It is wild. I mean, realistically, like just the change in the dollar and like what these contracts mean today versus
totally crazy.
What they really, what they would totally have looked crazy. Like years ago.
It has warped my brain big time when it comes to the value of money. Speaking of wild things, Nick Young said something on, I believe, his podcast, which Nick Young has a podcast, apparently.
Great.
I don't. I won't be tapping in.
Nope.
He said, quote, no, I'm sorry, this is not a quote. He said that people are scared to admit that Kyrie Irving is better than Steph Curry. Quote, Kyrie is the Kobe to Steph's Michael Jordan. People are scared to say he's better.
Okay, so...
lot to unpack.
The first thing is...
lot to unpack.
Kobe was never better than Michael, just straight up.
I think Kobe probably would have told you that.
Never. Yeah, just...
There was no... Is he the closest reproduction just from a movement skills and a bag standpoint? Like, yeah, maybe. Athleticism? Like, sure, I'll buy that.
Work ethic? Yeah. Like Kobe Bryant, like work ethic?
Maniac? Yes.
Yeah.
1,000%. But he was not better than MJ. Let's relax.
Yes, why?
Let's calm down.
I don't. He's not even in the conversation of like top five players of all time, where MJ is 1, 2, 3, depending on who you are, but like way up on every list. Yeah. Like that doesn't. I don't know. I don't know where you put Kobe it. in the grand scheme, but
and that's why this take sucks.
Yeah,
because now it sounds like, oh man, drag Kobe time. It's not that.
Well, he's
obviously incredible.
Yeah, and that was a Kobe teammate. Like, Nick Young right. was Kobe's teammate, right. so it makes sense that he would, like, have Kobe's back.
But he was also Steph's teammate.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Steph got him a title.
Okay.
Oh, no, wait, maybe he was with the team in 19.
Okay, so...
he might not have gotten him a title. Anyways, go on.
I'm still looking at this, so the other argument that he's making, if we get past the first one, it's ridiculous.
It's kind of like, nuts.
Like, Kyrie Irving is a great player, but he's not even, like, in most seasons, he's not an All-NBA player. I don't even know how many All-NBAs he has, but his body of work is marred by a bunch of other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But even if you take that away, he hasn't been healthy a ton of seasons. He hasn't, you know, he averages 23.6 points per game for his career. Like, he's an exceptional ball handler, right? He is considered... By NBA players to be one of the great ball handlers ever.
Right. And that's where I think the Kyrie discussion gets clouded. Mm-hmm. Because there are people who will tell you that Kyrie is just the most skilled person to ever pick up a basketball.
Yeah.
And I've not watched every single player who's ever picked up a basketball, obviously. But when you watch him, he does a lot of stuff that not a lot of dudes are doing. Just from a shot. Just creation, getting his shot off, creation with the ball in his hands, generating space and dribbling. Yep. It's insane. Go on, the 2016 finals, as great as LeBron was, Klay Thompson played excellent defense on Kyrie Irving, and Kyrie just bucket.
Oh, yeah.
It was ridiculous. So I get, from a pure skill standpoint, if somebody wants to say Kyrie's one of the best to ever do it, sure. But when you start talking... like greatness and who's better, at some point the body of work starts to matter.
Oh, yes, very much so.
So I don't get it.
Yeah, I don't get it all either. I mean, it's not even remotely close in my mind.
I don't think so either. I try hard not to be a homer in these situations. But I just don't know how you stack the two up. And I don't think that if you were doing an all-time draft, I don't think Kyrie goes ahead of Steph for any team.
No. And even like I talked about the injury stuff, right? Like Steph has had injury problems throughout his career.
Mm-hmm.
He's played one more season in the league and he's got like almost 200 games more.
Jesus.
And that's Steph. That's a guy who played 26 games one season and played mm-hmm. 5 games one season.
Mm-hmm.
He still has almost 200 more games played in just one more season.
That's insane.
He's got more points per game. He's got more assists per game by like a full assist a game.
Man.
So even if you want to say, oh, well, he's a great distributor, it's like, mm-hmm. well, no, Steph's a better distributor. Steph is the greatest shooter we've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
Steph has a 42.6% three-point percentage for his career.
On how many shots?
at 9.2 shots per game. But we're talking about a dude who has 8,800 three-point attempts for his career and shoots 42.6% from three.
Ridiculous.
No, he is ridiculous. It's That's outrageous. The best way to describe him. He is absolutely ridiculous. We're talking about a game-changing, all-time great. And, like, look, Kyrie's a really, really good player. He's a Hall of Famer.
Awesome.
He will make the Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm.
But there's no way you put him in the same category. And to say that people are afraid, like, come on now.
Not a single person's like, hey, I don't want to get this take off. Because people who love Kyrie are just going to tell you that he's better than Steph. Anyone who thinks that isn't scared to say it.
But that, yeah, that's not true, bro.
Yeah, right. Yeah. You can think it. Like,
yeah,
but,
yeah, you can.
It kind of goes, we were talking about DeMarcus Cousins a while back. Well, we've talked about DeMarcus a few times on this show. But how... When you start talking about, was it Cousins v. Sabonis was kind of the discussion we were having? I think that's what it was. And you brought up how at some point, like, being a teammate has to factor in.
Oh, yeah.
It doesn't matter how skilled you are. Are you making people around you better? Are you making the environment a winning environment? That has to matter. And that, to me, is another, if you want to say Kyrie has a better handle and is a better finisher than Steph Curry, okay, fine. But from a cultivating a winning culture and from a winning and producing consistently standpoint,
yes,
all of that stuff matters in this.
Yes.
And yeah. Kyrie just hasn't, as great as he is, like you said, Hall of Fame player.
He's a three-time all NBA player.
Mm-hmm.
Most of those are second and third team.
Mm-hmm.
Steph is a 10-time. He's an 8-time All-Star. Steph's a 10-time All-Star. You're talking about a guy who's won two MVPs versus zero,
mm-hmm.
a guy who's won two scoring titles versus zero.
Has Kyrie ever even, I'm asking genuinely because I can't recall, but I could absolutely be wrong. Has Kyrie ever been in an MVP conversation?
No, not that I remember.
Has he, Basketball Reference lists, has he ever finished top five, top 10?
I could look because it's right here.
Oh, I've got it right here. No, he's never been in the top whatever.
14th. He in 2015-16. No, 14-15. Oh no,
that's most improved.
My bad. Most improved.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, he's never been part of it. He has been voted on for comeback player of the year multiple times.
Hmm.
Because he's always coming back from some injury.
Yeah, he was really good for Dallas last year too.
Yeah, and I mean he's had some really good seasons, like mm-hmm. the 27 points per game there. But he's also destroyed at least one franchise,
mm-hmm.
and like crushed any hopes they had of winning games at all. And
mm-hmm.
and that's just like just the play on the court. He's just not as good. Like it's okay. It's okay to not be as good as Steph Curry.
Yeah.
Like
what a wild take.
Yeah.
Especially by the way, Steph did get Nick Young a title. 2018.
Oh, he did. Okay. Yeah.
I mean, he helped Nick Young get a title.
We're talking about a guy who was on the NBA's 75 greatest players of all time
mm-hmm.
versus player who was not. Like, again,
And you'll have people who argue Kyrie should have been on it.
Okay.
But not anywhere close to where Curry was.
No.
Wild.
No,
I try to stay away from that kind of stuff because I know I can come across as like a homer, and I don't want to do that. But that one was nuts. That was too far for me.
You have to be logical with at least somewhat of your take. Like you can't just make some random claim and then just leave it. Like there's too many layers to this, right? And like whether Steph Curry has ripped the heart out of your team and just beat you mm-hmm. in such a horrible way or not, you still have to be like enamored with mm-hmm. who he is as a player and the way he conducts his business on the mm-hmm. court. Like, I mean, he's one of the greatest players we've ever seen.
I will say, along those same lines, the shot Kyrie Irving hit in the 2016 finals to win game 7.
Incredible.
It might be, is that the greatest shot in NBA history? On the road, coming back from 3-1, mm-hmm. hit it over Steph Curry. Not that Steph's a great defender, but still the optics of Kyrie pulling up and Steph reaching for the... reaching to try and contest.
Yeah.
Arguably the greatest shot in NBA history. That's why I saw somebody on Steph's the last 3 against France, the golden dagger call. I saw somebody that was like, is this the greatest shot in basketball history? Like, that's not even the greatest shot that's involved Steph Curry, dog.
Yeah. I mean, that's wild.
So I want to get, I want to give Kyrie credit for what he's done on the court, but that was too far.
Yeah, I mean, I was in the building for that.
We have minor 49ers news.
I was in the locker room for that one.
Tanner Mordecai, undrafted rookie, by the way, has been waived by the 49ers. Tough day for Tanner Mordecai. My guess is that they will bring him back on their practice squad.
Yeah, they said, you know, they're saying he will likely land on the practice squad if he clears waivers.
I think he's going to clear waivers.
I really enjoyed watching him play. No surprises yet. Yeah, he's fun.
He's fine.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know that he has a true career or not, but yeah.
It's so funny. I think in a normal, if Tanner Mordecai had gone to the Seahawks, I don't think it would have been like a notable thing in Seattle, whatever Tanner Mordecai did. But because of Brock Purdy being Mr. Irrelevant and coming on the way he has, anybody who plays quarterback, when they come to the 49ers now, it's kind of like, hey, is this the next? Is this next? Is he the next Brock Purdy? Undrafted rookie, everyone? Oh, look at him run around out there. Oh, I like that throw he made.
I think there is something to that.
Yeah, I absolutely, because like literally when they signed him as an undrafted rookie, you went, hey, you have to kind of, the door is open.
Yeah.
You have to consider this. And I know there were some people who covered the team that were big Tanner Mordecai guys, but I didn't see anything super special. He certainly he was fine enough to keep around on the practice squad and maybe a long term backup.
Yeah.
But
I don't hate it.
Not a surprise.
I think he'll if he clears, he'll be on the practice squad and why not?
And the other aspect of this too is the NFL rejected the rule to keep a basically emergency quarterback on your practice squad that can come up for every game.
Oh.
So okay. You could basically roster 3 quarterbacks without having to have a third quarterback take up a 53-man roster spot. They have 86 that rule. So if the 49ers want to keep all 3, keep 3 quarterbacks on the roster, they have to keep 3 on the 53-man.
Oh, that's lame.
Yeah. So that's how that's going.
I don't like that. I wish that they would expand because, look, it's such a valuable position, and we saw what happened to the Niners in the playoffs.
Yeah, it could happen to any team. Like, quarterback's just way too important.
Yeah, I totally agree.
Anyways, maybe someday. Maybe when they expand the rosters, when they make it an 18-game season. I don't know. All right, we're going to hit a break. We'll come back. We got a second hour coming up. We got some ESPN NFL rankings. We've got The Athletic did their quarterback tiers. Where does Brock Purdy rank? Is he still 26th? We'll tell you next on ESPN 1320 Sacramento Sports Center.